decided he died on the 4th.
On the 4th, right a little after 6 p.m.
And because the Boodians are changing us.
Wait a minute. I think I'm growing scales. Hold on a second here. I've got to pull some scales off my arm. Hold on.
But you can't keep up. You can't keep up. You can't keep out of the line of fire.
Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Congress now, they've got them on their knees. They didn't have to push too hard, though some stood up for peace. And every time I turn my head, they're scratching out a line. One side for evil renegades, the other for their kind. And every time I turn my head, a deadline has expired. You can't keep up, you can't keep out of the line of fire. You can't keep up, you can't keep up, you can't keep out of the line of fire.
Eben.
Yes, sir.
It was my birthday today, meaning the Wednesday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bob. Happy birthday to you
and many more.
I'm weeping.
Speech,
I'm
Bob, weeping. Speech.
No, it was my birthday, and I sent out an email showing the first transcript of how Glo and I made contact through emails. And I titled it, We Have Contact. Well, again, these people, when I do sessions with the McLuhan and Joyce and that, they always psychically manifest something in my life. We've made contact with an ET here. That's never happened before with Glo. This is new.
Is that right, Glo? No, I've never met one. It's like once, I don't know, it's kind of the image frightens you, doesn't it? You get an image of someone, you usually go, oh my God, kind of thing. But now it's kind of, we've gone a bit into it and he's been here a little while. I'm kind of getting used to him and he feels totally different to he looks.
So maybe would you be able to sketch something?
Yeah, I could try. Yeah.
Yeah, Glo's an artist. She can draw.
Yeah, man.
I just turned it off.
Oh, very good.
Okay. I just want to say, Evan, I really enjoy your program a lot. I learn a lot of different interesting things. I'm not sure if this is a question or a comment, but I've been reading a lot of physics books about string theory and vibrational energies and such, and it seems like, I guess the question is for Glo. Could you ask the Boolean if he is from another dimension and if we are on the right track with our physics thinking about string theory?
Okay, he's kind of, he's rubbing his hands here. It's like sliding one hand over the other. It's like he's smoothing it out. He's pointing to us. That's what we're doing. We're kind of smoothing things out, kind of,
making bread?
Bits and putting it all together now.
Like dough making bread?
No, it's like he's, you know, when you slide one hand over the other, but he's doing it really gently, and he's continuing his hand after he's passed the other hand. So he's like smoothing it. It's like smoothing it out.
I would agree with him because the string theory is just moving physics into acoustic space. They're talking about notes and sound as the core of atomic structure. Atomic structure was always visual because we were literate people. Now we're post-literate, so we're now saying that matter is made up of acoustic.
Yeah, sure. Okay, just, all right, show me, like, steps up. So, you know, it's like it's a step to get further up kind of thing. All these things build on each other to get us to a point of understanding.
Right, so it's natural for string theory to appear now.
Yeah, it's like a natural progression. Everybody has to work through these points to get to, you know, further and higher up into our understanding.
But that's almost mechanical. The evolution of humans is predetermined almost.
He says mostly yes.
Well, my understanding of string theory is more like, terrible analogy, but kind of like smoke rings that pass through each other and is vibrational energy. And I'm just wondering if the Boolean is from another dimension.
Yes, I got that question.
Okay. Okay, he's saying where he exists now is very different to his original origin, like ours.
Okay, did he come from a place like ours when he says the original origin?
Hold on, okay. He's saying we still don't know our original origin. You know, even though we're housed in, you know, bodies as vessels and stuff, and we go on and we, you know, in the astral plane after we die or whatever, we were in the astral plane before we were alive, kind of thing. And so our origins are very different to where we're from. Okay, right now he's moving here with his mind. So he's putting to us, it's very similar to the how we exist, whether we exist in the physical plane as well as an astral plane and the spiritual plane, a soul plane, and you know all these different planes. It's very much like everyone exists on all of those planes as well, you know, in other dimensions as well as this dimension.
That's the smoke the caller was referring to, intertwining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my understanding of the universe is, you know, we see things as a reflection of light back from something, but we're actually not really solid, so to speak. You know, we're all just energy, and it just sounds like the bullion is from another energy type source, and he has just mastered the trick of being able to show up visually so Glow can see him.
Yeah,
yeah,
caller.
That's right.
Now,
what
you just said, caller, can you imagine your parents saying that 50 years ago?
No, no. They were still riding horses back when they were born.
You see how much we've changed, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a great night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hello?
Hi there. Welcome to the
club. Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Oh, my question is, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for your program. And I'd like to ask a quick question. As far as the, I'm not quite sure what the name of the entity, the Boodian, or is that correct?
Yes, sir.
How exactly do they relate to the human species, and what has our relationship been, and why is it changing at this point in time?
Okay. He doesn't see them. He doesn't see himself or his race as a separate. A separate race to ours, even though they, you know, physically do look differently. It's like a coexistence, but more than that, he's showing me like a black person and a white person. He's saying what, you know, like the difference. There isn't really a difference, is there? We're talking about just. A slight physical difference, but really they're still the same kind of thing. But it's more than physical. I have a trouble explaining this, but that's
more
as close as he can get to it on explaining, you know, his interest in, and, you know, their interest in us and our interest in them kind of thing.
But, Glow, what you have here is the McLuhan and Zappa are dead. They're ghosts. But this guy's not dead.
No.
This guy's physical.
Oh, you got to stop saying that. That really bugs Frank. He gets really offended when people call him dead. I tell you.
Okay.
Oh, God, somebody's calling me dead. I hate it.
Yes.
He doesn't like it at all. He really doesn't like it.
His famous quote was from Edgar Varese, "The present-day composer refuses to die." And he's living that to the hilt right now. He refuses to say he's dead.
So, caller,
but Evan, why is this happening now?
Okay, why is this happening now? We're open to it. It's just.
What made us open to it?
Yeah. We're open to this level of contact now.
Because of television?
More of a mental. He's tapping his side of his head. It's like more of a mentally open.
Yes, but why are we? Why did we get open?
Okay. evolution is like, well, he's rolling his hands one way and the other. It's like, I'm trying to get evolving. What are you trying to say here? It's like momentum, movement. Okay, hold on, keep going.
Yeah, we live in an environment now, you know, all the technology and everything we have today is totally different from 50, 100, 200, 300 years ago. That's the reason, right? It's common sense.
Yeah, it's all these things are contributing factors to what we can deal with.
Does astrology come into it? Are we actually moving? Would he recognize that we're moving out of the age of Pisces into a new age, and that is a factor? That the stars are affecting us?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, definitely. They have more, hold on, let's see, okay. Stars are very significant in the things that happen to us. Okay.
Hi, Lo.
Hi, Nolan.
Lo, I was reminding of a marvelous book called Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke that I read about 30 years ago or longer than that. And I guess there was a time in the world when man was about to destroy himself, and all of a sudden all of these spaceships started showing up around the world in holographic images. And when mankind finally made contact with these beings that came out of the ships, they looked very serpent-like. But they were called servants. They were overlords. They were here to help us progress to another level. Could it be that these beings, or whatever they are, serpent-like beings, are here to help us to evolve maybe to a third level of consciousness?
Okay, let me ask that.
They're sort of guardians, are sort of our guardians and teachers at the same time. I'm asking.
Yeah, he's saying many guardians. There's like others as well, others different from him that do the same, they not the same things, but they do other things that help us too. And there is a progression, absolutely, to other states and levels.
So did that image of the reptilian come from Arthur Clarke? Because that book was written about over 50 years ago.
Right. I think I read it around 1967, 68. And I remember when the overlords or the guardians came out of the spaceships, they looked sort of like the mythological conception of what the devil looks like.
Right.
And it's sort of, you know, reptilian skin and horns. But they were actually, one might call them angels of a sort.
Yeah, he's just showing a picture of, he's showing me somebody like standing on the moon, and they've got their hand above their eyes as if they're like looking out. And he's saying that's kind of like is what helps us, is to expand our vision, to think, wow, we can get here and we can look further and further. And that's a part of our progression as well, is being able to see, you know, being able to feel we can see further and go further. And
we're conditioned by our senses, and if we move our sensory experience in another place, then it changes us.
Yeah, everything grows, doesn't it? It gets bigger. It's like, well, we can get there, we can get the next planet or the next one. Or.
But notice, he's looking out. That's an eye thing. You know, we already heard that we're already in touch in non-visual ways.
Yeah, and he's not looking towards the Earth. He's looking out into space. He's looking away from us.
Why haven't we been back?
He doesn't know that.
Okay.
It's just like he's kind of shrugging his shoulders. It's like, well, why haven't you? You just gotta, you know. If you want to, you know. So it's just like, if you want to go back, you go back, don't you?
Are we as much of a mystery to him as he is to us?
Okay. And he's being a bit coy on the answer here. He's saying no. He probably knows a lot more about us than we realize.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm just wondering, this is questions for anyone, is it possible to communicate with animal consciousness, with the different animals? I mean, is that kind of direct communication possible?
Is that with animals, did you say?
Yeah, I mean, just with cats or...
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that 100%, definitely.
Well,
I've
what
had
do they believe?
Like that personally.
You
myself.
Stay out of this, Glo. What do they believe?
What do they believe?
Uh, Okay, the alien is agreeing and nodding his head. M saying, I haven't had that experience on the Earth plane. And Frank thinks so, yeah. He's nodding. He's going, yeah, you can relate to animals.
But McLuhan can't.
Well, he just said he hasn't had that experience.
When he was a human.
Yeah.
Any further questions, sir? No, it's just something that was interesting because I've always wondered about how to if they think the way we do or if they think differently. I imagine they would maybe think differently, but I just didn't know if that direct communication was possible. And apparently they say it would be, or you say it would be. And
yeah, but you're saying communicate. You're asking if the animals pretty well think like us. You know, maybe not exactly, but approximately, right? That's what you're asking.
Yeah, I guess so. What
do they say to that, Glo?
Okay. Saying they don't think like us in the because they have a different kind of nature, so they think within their own. He's kind of holding his hands out in a circle, like a limited nature of what they think in more. More of a primal instincts kind of thing.
Caller, thank you so much,
okay? Thank you
very much.
Hello? I'm on.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank wonderful show. I just got up to go to work, and I listen to the show at this time. I started listening at the point where the circle, you were talking about the field circles. One of the things that I'm hearing here is a block, a wall. And that is, you keep relating to physical reality, which is the lowest reality, and the people you're communicating with are trying to get us out of this lower reality. We take for granted the fact that we're in form, so much so that we think that's what we are. We're not. And when they give you your answers, if you could put away the words a second, things would make more sense. For instance, that circle is infinite. And what they're trying to do is communicate with us the way we used to communicate millions of years ago, with light. And there's information, living modules of information on that light.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
I think it's got a really good point there, yeah.
And what did they say to that?
Okay.
Is that caller your friend, Eben?
No, she's just one of our fantastic computers.
Did I speak to her privately once?
I don't know.
You know who I mean?
Yes, I do, but, no, different person.
Okay.
This is just one of our many,
right? Right, it sounded like her.
No, I live down the block, as a matter of fact. I've never met Evan. I just listen to our wonderful shows that come on. But the point I'm making here is they're trying to get us to lose our identity and form. We have too much stake in matter. So nothing else that is real and valuable to us can get in.
Okay, yeah, we're
block, a wall.
A total round of applause for that one. They agree 100% on that one, yeah.
But the question is why do we put the wall around us?
Because you believe in matter more than you believe in your own natural divinity.
Yeah, why do humans naturally do that?
They don't naturally do it. They're taught it and hang on to it for dear life. Fear is the only motivation for doing something like that. We've got the best car on the market. It's called the human body. It's the only way we can perceive matter on its own level. But all the great religions warn us, matter bonds. Don't bond with it.
And yet,
we continue to bond. We bond. Are you asking for why do we do this? For pleasure? For
fear?
Yeah,
why do we bond?
For pleasure? For fear? Out of fear?
But where does the fear come from?
They're here to get us to put aside those delusions.
Where does the fear come from?
We manufacture it.
Why do we manufacture it? This is a question that humanity's been wondered for thousands of years.
Why do people manufacture it? Because they have a false deity that they believe in called ego. Ego is the Latin verb, first person singular for I am.
But why do we have an ego?
Because
we
make one up.
Why
and
do we
make
do that?
One up because we have an overwhelming sense of importance. We are not separate as we perceive ourselves.
I know, but why do we do that?
I don't do it. Why do you do it?
Why is it perceived that humans do it?
Excuse me?
Why is it perceived that humans do it?
It's not perceived that humans do it. Humans do it.
Do
That's
we know
why you say Frank is dead. Frank is not dead. He's never been dead.
Do we know why people think that Frank is dead.
Well, that's called ignorance, and I'm not using that as a derogatory term. You're ignoring the fact that the physical body does not stop your existence. It's simply a dwelling place.
Exactly.
So you can perceive matter. Now, if you want to make it more than that, you do that out of pleasure or fear. Well, matter is supposed to be a thing that we delight and have adventures in. It's not something to be worshipped.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And
have a great day. Okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, Glow, why do humans put the ego on themselves?
I think she hit the nail on the head when she said fear thing.
Beg your pardon?
I think she hit the nail on the head when she said it was a fear thing.
But what's fear?
We do it out of safety for ourselves, preservation of self.
What?
Preservation of self. We create that safety net, which is our ego of the I am thing. And it's out of fear that we do it.
Why do we fear? Where does the baby get the fear from?
Where's the baby getting the fear?
It's taught.
But
why do humans teach it?
That's what they know.
As soon as you come out of the room, the first thing they do is put some hoses in your nose and slap on the butt and put you on a nice cold gurney and say, welcome.
Yeah.
That'd scare anybody.
Yeah.
It all starts out.
It's downhill from there.
Oh, I got an interesting point. I was talking to the Evergreens told me that being born is more painful, the experience, the shock of the soul coming into this physical dimension, more painful than when you die. You go to warmth when you go to die. You come to cold. So maybe, you know, we've always had the fear, so it's not just the hospital setting. Always the shock of being born freaks the soul out.
But you know what I wanted to add back into what the caller was saying is that, you know what, as a consciousness, and maybe they would comment on it, didn't we line up to come down into this pleasure, pain, hell realm that it is?
Yes.
To go through a particular soul lesson. So there's something very powerful about flesh that not everybody would want to go through because of all of the catches of it. You see it going on now. So everybody that's materialized on this plane is either very strong or doesn't, you know, might be blindsided by the attachment to flesh.
And want to experience fear. That we come here to experience the chaos of this dimension.
Well, it's a dichotomy, so that has to be there.
Yes, and we want to experience the fear. And that's what Alan Watts would always talk about, the game. When you look at someone else, they're pretending they're not a god, but that's what the game is here.
Okay, let's keep going to the phones. We have people calling in. This is great fun dimes. Do you guys have a question or anything?
Not yet.
Okay, great. let's go to caller 2 on line 2. Caller 2, you're up.
Is that me?
Yes,
sir. All right, I just have a quick question for Frank, the author of, or the writer of Cosmic Debris. How did he feel when he realized when he had died that he was still going on? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, how did he feel? He's just showing him. He's showing himself. It's just like kind of looking around himself. It's like, It's like, okay. And.
I remember, Glow, we've done sessions where Frank was mad about the situation.
Pardon?
Remember, I was just reading in the transcripts that 2 years ago when we started, that Frank was a bit uptight about dying or being in another dimension. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
I can add to that. A very good friend of mine, another clairvoyant friend of mine, when I moved to Las Vegas to live with her, we were talking one day, and she just stopped and said, Frank's here. I said, what do you mean Frank's here? She said, Frank is here in this room right now. And he's taking his fist and slamming it into his hand like this because he was mad. Is he agreeing with me, Glow? Because that's what he did.
Are you asking if he was mad about dying?
No, this is what my friend told me he was doing. He was slamming his fist into his hand like this.
He was mad.
He was mad because he said the doctors were wrong. So I'm asking Glow to confirm that with me. Is that what Frank is agreeing to that?
Okay, yeah. He's saying pissed off.
Yeah, he said, I don't like being dead.
But are you saying, is Frank right now, Glow, saying that he was misdiagnosed?
Okay, hold on a second. He said he doesn't know, but he doesn't think it was what they thought it was.
Right.
Was he murdered? Poisoned or something?
I really got pissed off now. He didn't want to talk about that. He just says, look, I'm here and I'm all right. And
you know, I had another medium. This person I knew died, and we set up that if he did survive death, that he would come through a medium, and it's a pretty interesting story. And the person came through, and in one of the sessions I asked about Zappa, and they said, this person, this spirit, said that when Zappa died, he was pissed off when he came over on the other side. So that confirms what Misha Dean told you, right?
Right.
And now we have this. And, is there a lesson in that for us, Frank?
He's not here anymore. He's gone.
Oh. He's so pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue with the call, and maybe Frank will rejoin us. Let's go to line 4, call 4.
Hello?
Yes.
Is it me? Okay. I wonder about the Great Pyramid of Cheops. Did his race build the Great Pyramid? And what was it for? Have we interpreted it properly? And if is it possible that we're misinterpreting it?
Good question.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, his race didn't build it.
The Atlanteans built it. They influenced it, right?
Yeah. He's saying that people here built it, but they built it.
Did the Atlanteans,
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't a resting place. It wasn't a tomb.
It wasn't a tomb. What was it for?
Okay. It did. Okay, there's definitely a specific purpose. It's like a like ritual, but not ritual, an initiation, but not just on the physical level, on other levels too.
Did they have mediumship in the tomb?
And he's saying it's closed down now. You know, what it actually did is has been closed down.
The energies. Did they have mediumship in the tomb ritual? In the pyramid ritual.
That was an aspect, yes.
Ah, see? What we're doing right now.
Colin?
Yeah.
Did you have an additional question?
No, actually, that's fine for me. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, then. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
It is an elegant universe, isn't it? I had a question for Frank's daughter.
Sister.
I'm sorry. How you
that's
doing?
That's okay.
I didn't mean...
That's okay.
But I was curious, what was your favorite piece of music that he did?
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's a lot of it. But.
There's a lot of it. I liked some of the earlier stuff that he did. A friend of mine, in fact, Greg Russo, who wrote Cosmic Debris, sat down and literally sent me just about everything Frank's done, and I've had the pleasure of going through a lot of the stuff that I'd never heard before, like Billy the Mountain and Uncle Meat and stuff like that. I liked his earlier stuff. I think Apostrophe was one of my favorite albums.
Sure.
We're Only In It for the Money was another one, and Lumpy Gravy because of the orchestral beauty of it.
Well, I can tell you, he certainly was an influence for a lot of people I know.
And, yes, he was.
And we'll miss his music.
Well, it's still playing. I'm sure it's still playing somewhere. Thank you.
Candy.
Uh-huh.
Are you saying, Candy, someone named Ray wrote Cosmic Debris, not Frank?
No. I said Greg Russo sent me everything, just about everything Frank ever did. And Frank's earlier albums, Lumpy Gravy, was one of my favorites. I liked it because of the orchestral beauty of it.
And you know, one of the main names in Finnegan's Wake that James Joyce wrote is the name Porter. He's one of the main characters.
Well, I've come back.
Thank you. where the wind blows is fine with me. Yeah, anywhere the wind blows, it don't matter to me.
That's fantastic. That's exciting, Candy. Is that you singing there?
Yes, all the background vocals and everything.
It's just so snappy. And
it's snappy and fun.
Woo-hoo.
Makes you want to get up and take your clothes off.
Come on,
anywhere the wind blows.
All right, darling. So the lines have absolutely lit up. You are on a party line here on KPFK Radio Alchemy. So let's get to these calls and let's resume our dialogue with Glow and friends.
Evan,
yes.
What the guys are telling us is that from this point on, we are absolutely free. We can do whatever we want to do for the rest of our lives.
Okay, on this material plane, just do something with the body first. Okay, let's go to caller one. Caller one, you're on.
Okay. Oh, that was so cheerful. I really enjoyed that. Okay, yeah, and next time let's invite Alan to join us as well. He can use his insight too. Let's see. I remember hearing once or reading once.
Okay, did you have a question?
Are we there?
Hello.
Once again, that is my great technological feat of being able to cut people off in mid-sentence. If that person would call us back, I'm sure I will press the buttons right this time.
Evan, what did that person say? We should get in touch with who?
You know what? He's going to call back, and we are actually going to get a complete sentence out of him. In the meantime, let's go to caller two. Caller two, you're up. Caller one, call back.
Hi, you speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
Hi. I was listening to the Abraham Hicks people a little while ago who have a similar practice, I think.
Yes.
And somebody called in, and they said that they'd been reading a lot about the Mayan calendar and the, you know, doomsday scenarios and so on, and they were told not to worry about any of this. And I thought, well, that's comforting. And not long after that, the tsunami hit, and I thought, you could have been listening to that radio show and thought, well, there's no problem there then. And then gone on holiday to Indonesia and got hit by the tsunami. So does anybody have any comment on that?
What did McLuhan and them say, or the alien to that?
The alien.
Okay.
Anyone, any wisdom.
Okay. He's not going to comment on this, but M would like to comment on this. He says he doesn't personally see a big doomsday situation where the whole world's going to end in one moment at one time at all. He's shaking his head. He definitely doesn't see that. He said, but still, things happen. You know, they always have through history. And he said, and they still will do in the future and stuff. And, okay, go on. There are definitely earth changes that are happening. And we're witnessing earth changes, you know, things that are happening in our global environment now from the damage of things that we have done. He said, to them over that side, you know, they see this really apparent in our world. But it's like we don't seem to see it here.
Well, the question is, what is the morality of some of broadcasting to Abraham's?
Yes.
Someone
you've
goes.
You've got it. Go on.
Yeah. Can McLuhan comment? Is there a morality factor, a question there about broadcasting some information? It seems that if anybody says anything on the media, they just say, hey, take this with a grain of salt. Most people don't say that. That's my interpretation. But what does McLuhan say about the morality of them telling people everything's okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally wrong. It is. They're saying, okay, we all stand here and say there's no problem. Then everyone will think there isn't a problem. Whereas there's a lot of people standing around going, hey, there looks like there is a problem. Everyone's telling us there isn't a problem. You know, and it's like, he's saying, you know, think for yourself. He's pointing to his head. Think for yourself. Like, if you can see it, it's happening and it's real and know it.
Yeah.
And we should ignore what he just said. Well, we should think about what he just said, not believe it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
See, it's the old Catch-22 caller.
Let me ask a quick question.
Right. Okay. M and the alien guy are both kind of communing into a joint answer here. M's a little bit tentative, obviously, because this is I think this is a new communication. It's definitely a new communication for him too.
With the alien.
Pardon?
You're saying it's new because he's interacting with the alien.
Yeah. He hasn't met this person either.
Beg your pardon?
He hasn't met this person before today either.
Great.
So. So obviously he's still adjusting to him as well. They're kind of.
It's all happening on my birthday. We have really made contact. We can have a press conference tomorrow.
Okay, let's see. Okay, there are some factors. It's definitely showing me like time. They're showing me a swinging clock here, swinging watch. But also there's certain natural laws of the way things work. And why they work the way they do. That in itself is. That's the whole thing in itself, Ed is saying. That's the whole thing in itself.
Well, science is the modern version of looking at the laws that early magic was based on.
Sure, that's right. But he's saying, like, in a way, the mind kind of can work all through those things. He's kind of throwing. It's like I can see throwing scientists away, like throw them off. You know, they might get to all that understanding of what, why, and how, and stuff like that. Yeah, okay. And the aliens say everything you need, you have, is within you. He's putting his hand on top of his own head. It's like you are it.
And okay. That's the essence of being a magician.
Okay, and the.
But what about the real?
Sure. The limitations are ourselves. We limit what we can do.
But there are laws.
Yes.
Right. But ask this. With him being present with you, is he limited because he is in your presence? Is he limited by these laws when he is in
it? Okay. It's not that he's limited by them, but he has to work with them in order for things to work.
And for him to show up?
Yes.
All right, loves. We have the phone lines have just lit up. We really want to try and get to all of our wonderful listeners.
Those are lawyers.
Okay, caller three, you're on line, caller three.
Is that I?
Yes, sir.
Quick question. Is James Joyce planning on completing his trilogy? The next one was supposed to be like the Paradiso out of Dante's Inferno. And also, was there a historical Jesus? Thank you.
Okay, I'll call her. I wonder where he got that idea, Paradiso. I don't know where he got that from. I'm a Joyce scholar. I'm not sure it's familiar, but anyways, that's my reservation. Go ahead, Glow.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Right at the very beginning of the show, after, you know, he was crossing his legs and he had his hands. He lied down on the floor and then he kind of levitated up and he's kind of like. He's been there the whole show. He's been levitating against the ceiling. Okay, so I'm not sure.
Well, that's miming the point of this show, that, you know, he can go beyond the laws, but no, he knows the laws to be able to do that. That's a metaphor for what our discussion has led to.
Well, I knew there must be some significance. I knew it was going to come up at some point, but, you know, he hasn't joined in any of the show so far. He just floated up, and that was it. And the really weird thing is, because, like, he was, like, right, lying right across the ceiling, and then I've got M standing on one side, I've got Frank standing on the other side, so they, like, made this pillar, it's like Stonehenge kind of thing, and then I've got the alien in the middle of it.
Wow.
So, yeah. So.
Now, was Joyce intending to write another book after Finnegan's Wake, which was parallel to Dante?
Okay, let me... He was considering various things. He had quite a few things that he was thinking about writing next.
It's on record that he said he was going to write something short and simple almost. Is that one of the options?
He said he's got about, he had five or six things that he was thinking of what he was going to do.
So, ask him, is Finnegan's Wake a book?
It's everything.
Right.
Well, Lo, I was wondering if you could pass on some information from me to Frank.
Okay, he's not actually here right now.
Oh.
Yeah, he hasn't come back. He's,
okay.
He's over there.
Do you ever, does he ever just come by and visit you without you, you know, calling him?
Yeah,
I just,
yeah, he does.
Can you pass
actually
on a message to him,
yeah,
for me?
Sure.
I just wanted to thank him for bringing his sister into my life. I've worked with a lot of his musicians after, you know, after he left the Mothers of Invention and got a new band. They helped me in my career at one time many years ago, and then I met Candy in 1999, and my life has been changing in a lot of positive and good ways, and I think Frank had something to do with that, and I just wanted to thank him from Nolan.
Okay, I'll pass it on for you, Nolan.
Thanks, Lo.
Hello?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, yes. Hello. Much love to you all, and thank you so much. May the divine light of the force of time protect Glo and everyone. And I have a question for Glo to ask our friends that are there with her. And before, when they were talking about Shoshumna and rather merging into things a bit there, I'm wondering if they're familiar with the reality of Achintya Beta Beta Tattva.
What's that?
Simultaneously oneness and different, and if, like, in the Shoshumna, and when they're part of everything, at the same time, if they can feel a reciprocal love with something greater.
What culture is that language from?
Ancient Sanskrit, before Devanagari.
Okay.
Okay, the alien is, he just, yes. He's got his arms stretched out wide, and he's just totally in that space. Totally in that space. Wow. That's just, whew.
So he's saying that he is existing in that space, in that dual space.
He can do, yes. He can, it's like, not all the time. I sense he can't be there all the time, because he can do other things that he wants to do, but he can achieve that.
In that,
at will, by the
in that reciprocal divine love, is mysticism like a distraction or like a side effect?
Okay. It's just giving it like progression. It's like a Everything has something in it that's the distraction, but there's also the other bit that's the good bit. It's like, he's conveying the term of like alchemy, you know, of distilling and showing me all these, what do you call it?
I could just, I tell him, I feel from the heart, he's pouring, he's communicating, he's transferring information like the crop circles. This is possible, and more humans will wake up to this?
Yes, absolutely.
He's influencing our world right.
Okay, I
want to
bliss out and just say, Om Tat Sat, I love you all.
Love you too, Dan.
Thank you.
Evan, I'm just saying, so Glo, he's mutating us, working on us right now through this session.
Yes.
Let me ask Glo, if you would ask the
other
man, is he progressing towards anything?
Sure. Yeah, yes, absolutely. It's, you're showing me. It's like, he's progressing up, and he hasn't found the ceiling yet.
But part of the progression is meeting us at this point, right, to interact with humans.
Is he like an ambassador?
It's also part of his learning too.
He learns from us.
Yes.
Let's go to caller six. Caller six, you are up.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah. Hi. I have a question. I've been listening to the whole synopsis for the last 20 minutes, so it's very fascinating. But Glo, if all people are aware of consciousness or angels, how come sometimes, a lot of times, they make us laugh? in a good way. And that's the concept. That's my question.
Why did they laugh?
How can they make us laugh? Sorry. Can you repeat the question for me?
Why do angels make us laugh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me ask a question. It was a good one. Okay, he's just like touching his heart, but putting both his hands on it is like an opening. It's like it opens us up to be able to receive those energies. A lot of the time we're very close, very eyes, he's got his fingers together, like really tightly joined. So it's like we're too tight to receive their energy. So they, you know, sometimes they make us laugh to open us up.
So the idea of them makes us laugh, and that's just the foreplay.
Yeah.
That's like what you've always said, laughing and learning.
Yeah, when you're laughing, you're learning.
That's right.
And so you're saying that we laugh, our mind makes us laugh, and that's us opening up, and then something else happens to us after.
I would agree with that.
What'd you say, caller?
I would agree with that. I had a professor just in the last semester, and his talent was when you laughed, you learn.
Oh, my God. That was just a universal piece of caller, darling. Appreciate you being up late. Okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Frank's still gone?
Yeah, he has.
Okay.
I think he's really angry. He's smashing things up in the distance.
Well, okay. We brought up the topic of whether he was murdered, and then he left.
Yeah.
Well, I'd leave too.
No comment.
Did you have another question?
Yeah, I sure did. In fact, just tonight I was watching a show about UFOs, and one of the common arguments against them coming here is the distance they would have to travel. And what's the counterpoint to that?
What's the alien say about time travel or distance?
Okay. Okay, he like clicked his fingers and there was like a light and he vanished and then he had this just a light and the click again and he was back. As quick as that.
Instantaneous. Is this due to laws of the universe?
Yeah. I mean, we've done that in physics already, haven't we?
Beg your pardon?
We did that in physics already, haven't we? Wasn't there an experiment recently? I think it might have been just the end of last year, and they had a light, and they got it from one place to another, and it actually arrived before it left.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
So are we... When do we have the official contact, if there is official zone, with the Boodians? Can he tell us that?
It's straight away. It's when we're ready.
Do we have to go through some real problem in the Middle East to help us get ready?
We don't have to, no, he says.
Will we?
He doesn't wish to answer that.
Okay, let's call
it.
I want to thank you so much.
Oh, you got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Those callers could email us.
Bob, please.
They could email us.
Okay,
Bob. Okay, the psychologists studying babies have discovered that there are only two innate fears. We were talking about fear earlier. One is the fear of falling, and the other is fear of loud noises. And some have said that when you incarnate into a body, you experience a sense of falling, and as you come down, you get these weird noises in your environment that are something like poltergeist bolts or something. But it's a very scary thing, incarnating. And on that note, Watts said, God likes to hide and then rediscover his or herself. As you die, apparently you have an option, at least one, but you have an option either to choose cold, like mountain ice, cold, just cold and stillness, or warm and cozy. If you choose warm and cozy, you're on your way back into a body. If you choose the other one, you can stay out as long as you like. And we'll let that go.
We'll get feedback on that question, and thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, that's an interesting point, because I remember at one point, I'm sure we asked Marshall what it was like, and he said it was like diving into a cold lake. So it's interesting you brought that out. I've never heard that before.
Right, that's a good point. In other words, when I said that, or I was told to go warm when you die, he's saying watch out for that.
Yes, to the body.
if you don't want to reincarnate.
All right, darlings, we are so up against it. Let me start out by thanking so much Candy Zappa. Say, you know, hello, thank you.
Thank you very much, you guys. You guys are great.
And the email is patrizap@aol.com. patrizap@aol.com. And Nolan, sir, thank you so much for
listening. Thank you. Thank you.
Bob in New York, happy big birthday to you, sir. And thank you for convening this meeting of the minds and bringing such a gem to us, such an international gem glow, and sharing her and her insights with the audience.
You're all darlings. Now,
let me thank.
But Evan, if they go to us, they can go to a site where Glow and the guys have communicated, a Bon Echo Space. If they want to email us, we'll get them how to get to a place where there's a lot on record.
Okay, very good. Bon Echo Space, bonecho.com. And Glow, thank you.
Thank you, Glow.
Thank you.
You're
Glow.
Welcome.
Fantastic. And thank the internet, definitely. And,
okay.
And the folks, all of them.
We're sending out a press release tomorrow. We have contact.
No kidding. All right, darlings. We have to wrap it up. Thank all of you fantastic, adventurous callers. It's what it's all about. Roy is standing by.
Not the best.
Oh, and you know what? Remember, Bob can count.
You've been listening to Radio Alchemy with your host, Evan Ray. Be sure to visit our website, www.radioalchemy.com. And join us next week for more mind-blowing revelations from the fringe. She got no use for